I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Award season is quickly approaching, and last night was the annual Grammy nomination concert. The one-hour event was hosted by LL Cool J and included performances by Rihanna, a tribute to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, featuring the legendary DJ himself, and interesting collaborations, including Lady Gaga and Sugarland. Of course, the purpose of the concert was to announce the nominees for the Best Music of the Year. And as always, there were a few surprises and what is being interpreted as a few snubs. Here to help us make sense of these announcements, as well as other headlines in the world of music, are three music writers. NPR music critic Ann Powers is with us. Also with us, Jasmine Garst, who co-hosts NPR Music's Alt Latino podcast. And also with us, Nikesa Mumbi Moody, music editor for the Associated Press. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Hey, happy to be here.
So let's start by talking about last night. There are a total of 78 categories in the Grammys. All the nominees were posted online, but the major categories were announced at the concert last night. And it looks as though Bruno Mars and Adele and Kanye cleaned up. Let's see, Bruno Mars and Adele each was nominated for Best Song, Album, and Record of the Year. We'll just play a quick clip from each of the artists in case people aren't familiar with all of them. This is Bruno Mars' song, Grenade. And here's Adele's Rolling in the Deep, although I don't know if you haven't heard this one, I don't know, maybe you were on the space shuttle or something, but here it is. Here's Adele Rolling in the Deep. So, Anne, do you think that the nominations were about right? Did they get it right from your perspective?
I noticed that the Twitterverse was blowing up last night with confusion about the exclusion of Kanye West's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy from the Best Album of the Year category. I also wonder what happened with Beyoncé. She didn't have very many nominations, or at least not in the major categories. That was confusing to me. So I think it was a... It's a year that's going to cause a lot of discussion, actually. They got some things right and some things possibly way wrong.
So those were the exclusions were the things that caught your eye. Were there any inclusions that caught your eye?
Well, Bon Iver, the band led by Wisconsinite Justin Vernon, beloved by indie rockers and people who like beautiful singer-songwriterly and texturally rich music, got some pretty amazing nominations, and there's a lot of people who are excited about that.
Nikesa, what about you? What caught your ear?
I was a little bit surprised about Bon Iver as well, just because not for the Best New Artist, but for Record and Song of the Year. I was surprised Mumford & Sons, again, Record and Song of the Year. And
that were nominated.
That were
Those
nominated.
Were the ones that were nominated.
Those were the ones that were nominated.
Questionable about that.
I think the Kanye West exclusion was shocking. Also, Taylor Swift. She had a huge year, and the album was very well critically received. So I think that was a big shock that she was shut out as well of the major categories.
Now, Jazz, you mostly cover Latin alternative music, so one of the things I wanted to ask you was whether there are artists from that part of the music business who you think should have gotten more recognition and did not.
Well, it's difficult with the Latin category because one category is best Latin pop, rock, or urban. Then you have best regional Mexican or Tejano, best banda or norteño. You know, it's hard because when you have one category that's best Latin pop, rock, or urban, I mean, that's the equivalent of having one category that is inclusive of...
Best human.
Best human. Like that, you know, best rap, country, and jazz all in one category. I mean, it's a little bit... It's hard. At the same time, I was pretty pleased with the people who were nominated. I almost found it to be more focused than the Latin Grammys, maybe because, you know, they have to squeeze everyone into this tiny category, so only the best ones make it in. I'm quite pleased with the nominees. You have Calle 13, the Puerto Rican rap duo who, you know, basically... you know, did staged a coup at the Latin Grammys, and you have
we heard your fans. Yes, we had a whole conversation about that.
We have the Venezuelan band La Vida Bohème, who are newcomers. They're exciting. They're everything Latin rock should be. We have Gustavo Galindo, who is also doing some exciting mixes with electronica and folk. I was really pleased with the Latin nominations. Of course, it would be awesome to have some more variety that would reflect the variety in Latin music.
Well, you know, speaking of variety, though, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the concert itself. I mean, as we said, it was the Grammy nomination concert, but it was still a concert. And I thought it was very interesting. They put some interesting groups together, unexpected pairings, let's sort of maybe put it that way. And there was a group performance in honor of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five's classic song, The Message. Let's hear some of that.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Hands up, hands up. Like a couple of some kind of face. You wanna hide people throwing out the hands up, hands up. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the talk about roaring as the streets blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of cocktails. Used to be a bag man, second that the tango, good and loud as tango.
And that featured Grandmaster Flash, Millie Mel, Scorpio from the Furious Five, and more, let's say, recent hip-hop artists Common, Lupe Fiasco, and LL Cool J. And I always like to point this out because the young'uns who think, you know, that they're all way ahead of us, I like to point out that it's my generation that invented the genre. So I thought I'd mention it, just in case anybody was interested. So, Nick, so what did you think about the performances this year?
I thought the performances were on par for what the Grammys do. They try and bring in different genres together and kind of do a mashup. I thought the Sugarland Lady Gaga performance was probably among the best. I thought that the band Perry showed their excellence. Kimberly Perry just has an amazing voice, and I think that came through when she wove in pop. So I think it was a good show.
Jazz, what do you think?
First of all, I loved the whole Grandmaster Flash performance, and I think it's a really poignant statement on the state of hip-hop right now that a song that came out in 1982 relates to the hardships that people are going through now so much more than so much of what is out there on commercial hip-hop. I think that says a lot. I thought the Gaga performance was also brilliant. I mean, I just think Lady Gaga, she has so much visual stuff going on that sometimes you forget that she's truly an amazing performer. She's very good live.
Interesting point. But to the point that you're making, and if you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about last night's Grammy nomination concert and announcements with NPR Music's Alt Latino podcast co-host Jasmine Garst, NPR music critic Ann Paris, and Associated Press music editor Nikesa Mumbi Moody. Jazz, you were talking about the fact that the message still resonates, given that a lot of people are experiencing a lot of situations right now. Interested in the role that social activism is playing in popular music right now. I mean, obviously, you know, every movement has its sound, like the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, anti-Vietnam War movement had a certain sound. A lot of people have been waiting to see whether the Occupy Wall Street movement will develop a sound. And there have been performers like Lou Reed from the Velvet Underground and the hip-hop artist Talib Kweli have signed on with a group called Occupy Musicians, saying that they support the Occupy movement. But, Ann, is there a major star? Does it look as though the movement is sort of coalescing around a particular sound? I know that Miley Cyrus just released a video to the remix of her song Liberty Walk that features video from the Occupy demonstrations, but I think some people are just kind of scratching their heads at that.
I think it's great that Miley made that statement, and I'm excited whenever I see someone who has power in the conventional mainstream music industry connecting with social movements. I do feel that the Occupy movement is very grassroots, very viral, and it's really not oriented around stars of any kind, political stars as well as musical or cultural stars. So even though certain artists have wanted to connect with Occupy and are making statements, it's really not the kind of movement that's going to produce that kind of glamour. And in fact, I think the whole kerfuffle around Jay-Z and his Occupy All Streets shirts, which he created and then was going to sell without donating any money to, I think, any political cause, that's a good sort of example of how difficult it is for mainstream artists who are very invested in the capitalist entertainment industry to really find a way into this grassroots movement.
Jazz, what about musicians from other parts of the world? One of the things that you've noted in your coverage of Calle 13 is that they're a fun dance band, but their lyrics are often very political. So are there musicians from other parts of the world or in genres in other parts of the world who were taking up this whole question of economic inequality, which is the Occupy Wall Street cause?
Absolutely. I mean, you have musicians that are always being very vocal. You have Juanes in Colombia, who has been very vocal about violence in Colombia. Shakira has been extremely vocal, and which earned her, you know, a person of the year for the Latin Grammys. And Calle 13, this week they released a new music video about human trafficking in Latin America. You know, it's really interesting, this idea that we live in such a celebrity culture, and this idea of elevating people who are essentially entertainers to the role of activists and moral compasses. To me, you know, that's great when it happens, but these people are entertainers. They make great music. It's wonderful when it happens, and it kind of brings me back to a conversation I've had with Latin American friends.
Well, doesn't it speak to the question of whether the role of the artist is to lead or to follow?
Absolutely, and it brings me to this conversation that I've had with Latin American friends of, you know, during the time in, you know, 70s and 80s, when Latin America was in the grip of dictatorships, there were artists who entertained and got people's minds off of the atrocities that were happening. And there were artists who got involved and they were activists. I always have this ongoing debate with friends as, you know, which one is right? And if you are just an entertainer during a time of crisis, are you complicit?
Interesting. Mikasa, any thoughts about this?
Well, I think it's interesting. I feel like a lot of the pop acts are trying to seize on the electricity that they see with Occupy Wall Street. You've had Kanye West go down. I think Jackson Brown is performing today. We have a lot of artists who want to attach themselves, but I think they don't know quite the right way to do it because they are usually part of the 1%. So it's an interesting dynamic. You know, I think they see some energy and they want to see how they can harness it for their music and for maybe for their images. But as Anne said, it's not quite the same type of movement that the Occupy Wall Streeters would latch onto these celebrities.
Well, it's true because they've had a whole structure around who they invite to speak and who they allow to come and speak. There was this whole situation down in Atlanta where John Lewis, who's a hero of the civil rights movement, came down and wanted to speak to the group and was rebuffed because apparently they had some process for inviting speakers that he didn't know about, and that caught some attention. Anne, you wanted to say something briefly?
Well, I just wanted to say that there is political music being made, even in the most mainstream arenas, and Lady Gaga is a great example of that.
Right.
Her causes, however, have been more identity-based liberation causes. For example, her song Born This Way has been taken up by many different kinds of people as a liberation anthem. So pop music tends to serve identity-based politics better in some ways than it serves sort of economically-based politics, at least during this era. And I think that is something we can't forget. I also want to say that Kanye West and Jay-Z made some very strong political statements on their album Watch the Throne this year. So it's not like even commercially successful mainstream pop is devoid of political statements. It's just that connecting them with Occupy Wall Street doesn't always happen in an easy way.
Mm-hmm. It's not a clear sort of line between the two. Okay, well, before we let each of you go, going back to the Grammy nomination concert last night, can I just get don't you hate it when people ask you to make predictions? I mean, it's such a cheap thrill, but I'm going to ask. Because there was all this discussion around who will win for Album of the Year, and I know it's not till February, but come on, I'm just putting you on the spot just for my own amusement. Jazz?
I think it's going to be Adele.
Adele's 21.
I think you'd have to be crazy to bet against her.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just quickly recap the nominees. There was Adele's 21, Wasting Light by Foo Fighters, Born This Way by Lady Gaga, Doo-Wops and Hooligans by Bruno Mars, and Rihanna's Loud. So, Anne, your prediction.
Oh, Adele. She's like an Angry Birds, you know, you have the mighty eagle that you can use to come in and destroy everything. That's Adele. She's the mighty eagle. She's going to really sweep every category she's nominated for.
Okay, Nikesa, final word.
I want to say Adele, and I do believe it probably will be Adele. But then again, I thought Kanye was going to get Album of the Year. So you can't really trust the Grammys as far as saying that there's a sure thing, because they'll always shock you.
Okay, Nikesa, come on. You didn't answer my question. Which of the nominees
okay,
is
I'm
going to be?
Okay. I'm going to say Adele.
Okay.
Watch Bruno Mars surprise us all.
Yes. That's right. As he told LL Cool J last night, let me have my moment. That's right. All right. That was Nikesa Moody, music editor for the Associated Press. She joined us from our studios in New York. Also with us, NPR music critic Ann Powers. She was with us from member station WUAL in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And here with us in our Washington, D.C. studios, Jasmine Garst, co-host of NPR Music's Alt Latino podcast. Ladies, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And let's go out on an artist who is nominated for Best New Artist of the Year, Nicki Minaj, and her song Super Bass. This one is for the boys with the booming system, top down AC with the coolest system. When he come up in the club, he be blazing up, got stacks on deck like he's saving up. And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Freddie Boswell, Bracton Booker, Bridget Deshagas, Eamon Malone, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, and Amy Ta. Our intern is Malik Washington. Our directors are Monica Evstatieva and Arjun Hutch. Our editors are Alicia Montgomery and Ahmad Omar. They had a hand this week from Lori Grant. Our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. The technical director is Neil Tevolt. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The executive producer is Tashima Walker. And to tell us more, please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can find our podcast there. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tell Me More NPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow. This one is for the boys in the powwows. Entrepreneurs again in the mowgows. He can bow with the cool, he can sow loud. But I think I like him better when he's out loud. And I think I like him better with the fitted cap on. He ain't even gotta try to put the Mac on. He just gotta give me that look. When he give me that look, then the panties coming off. Excuse me, you're a hell of a guy. You know I really got a thing for American guys. I mean, sigh. Sickening eyes. I can tell that you're in touch with your feminine side. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Somebody please tell them who the F I is. I am Nicki Minaj. I'm Mac, I'm Dude up. Back coops up and chuck the deuce up.